Antichrist. We're going to spend quite a little time talking this evening about the title, The Man of Sin. We could also call this by the name, The Little Horn. We could call the sermon this evening, The Beast That Came Out of the Sea. We could call it by The Assyrian. No matter whether we called it the man of sin, the Antichrist, the king, the wicked one, the beast out of the sea, the Assyrian, would all be about the same subject, because those are just different names, different titles that the Word of God has for this same topic, the opposer, the one who is against God, the one who opposes the Son of God. The scripture text that inspired us to bring this message for you this evening is the one which we read for your consideration this evening, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. From the words of this chapter, it is evident that the Thessalonian brethren believed that the Antichrist had already come. They believed that the kingdom of God was going to be established in a very short time, that Christ was going to return within their lifetime, that he was going to come within perhaps a week or just a few days. They had misunderstood the word which had been preached unto them. Paul was careful to call attention to the fact that there were false letters which were being passed around to the people, that there was false teaching that had been going on, that such was not the case, that he was not going to establish the kingdom at just a few days. We believe that it is for our admonition that this had been emphasized, and that we also should pay attention to this word. Paul was careful in all of his preaching to emphasize the truths of the Word of God. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now, we would call your attention to verses 1 and 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, we beseech you by the fact that Jesus is going to come again. We beseech you by the fact that we are going to be gathered up to meet him in the air. And by the fact that he is coming again, by the fact that we are going to meet him, by that fact, don't be misled. Do not be deceived. Don't be troubled, neither by spirit, neither by air, neither by the spoken word, in other words, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ, if you have a Bible with a center column reading, it is the day of the Lord, that the day of the Lord is at hand. It's not right then. The day of the Lord did not begin in the days of Paul. It did not begin in the days of the Thessalonian church. We believe that it may have a very imminent coming, and it's not going to be heralded by an atomic warning. It's not going to be brought in by great signs in the world. Beginning is going to be gradual. We're going to talk more about this. The day of the Lord is an Old Testament expression. Whenever it is used, it is always in an ominous tone. The implications are horrible. They always denote world catastrophe. But the Christian is always interested in them because he knows that his redemption is nigh. earth and he will shake it. And the haughtiness of man, the loftiness of man is going to be brought down. The man of sin will not be able to stand against God. Just a comparatively few chapters or books after this, in Zephaniah, a comparatively small book, but has a lot in it about the end time. Zephaniah, the first chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced city. apocalypto. And this apocalypto means that it is going to be unveiled.
Perhaps you've been someplace where they've had a statue, and at the appropriate moment they pull the curtain back and this man is unveiled. Now it's not going to be that kind of an unveiling, but today we're talking about the man of sin. We're warning people to beware of this man of sin. Someday at the appropriate time, God in His great power will permit this man of sin to be unveiled. And then the people of the church, the Christians, will know that that is the man of sin. And they will know that it's going to be
just 7 years from that time until the time that Christ comes. This person is called in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, the 3rd verse, the son of perdition. Now that same epithet was given to Judas Iscariot in John 17th chapter, the 12th verse. For Christ says, he is a son of perdition. He is an antichrist. He is a poser. Now this son of perdition, the man of sin, mean almost the same thing, if not the same thing. So there's another title that we could give to this message, the man of sin, the son of perdition. Again, 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, the 4th verse. Now this son of perdition opposes, it
according to his will, and shall exalt himself, and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined, for that that is determined shall be done. He's going to speak marvelous things against God. He's going to say great things, boastful things, but that that is determined shall be done. God is going to first cry.